down, or traveling down to Blaine, Pennsylvania. That's in south central Pennsylvania. And he's going to be preaching down there. And so that's why he is not here now. Yes? Yes, we did. We did at the end of the, the 11 o'clock service. But you know, it doesn't hurt to pray again. Okay, Father in heaven, we do thank you for our pastor, and we pray that you would keep them safe as they travel, protect them from any injuries that would be caused by others, keep pastor awake and alert so that they, Father, would be able to travel safely to their destination. I pray you be with the service tonight, grant him the power of your spirit, help him to remember all that he has planned and prepared for, as we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 40. There are many metaphors, similes that are used in the scriptures. And these help us, the people of God, to understand ourselves. Sheep, Christians are called sheep. Sheep are followers. They cannot lead anyone, but they must have a shepherd to lead them. We're called salt. Salt, you know, food is not the same without salt. Now, my wife eats an almost totally salt-free diet, except for what's in food. And I salt by sight, okay? Literally. I mean, if I don't see it, I don't taste it. I've had people, my one son-in-law, Paul, he says to me, he says, well, you salted it, you didn't even taste it. I said, in my whole life, now I'm 77 now, but in my whole life, I can count on one hand the number of times that I should not have salted something, okay? So food without salt is not the same. Salt is a preservative. And then we're called light in the Bible. Light dispels darkness. And that's what our lives ought to do. It ought to dispel darkness. We ought not to cooperate with darkness. We ought not to walk in darkness. We need to live in the light as he is in the light. And then we are called branches. Oh, I like this one from John 15. All fruit comes from the branches. Think about that. Fruit doesn't come from the trunk. Now, the trunk is needed. I thoroughly understand that. That'd be our Savior, our God. But nevertheless, fruit comes from the branches. And so if God is going to get fruit, okay, it's going to come from us. And then we are also called soldiers. Soldiers defend and fight for their king. Well, our text, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Notice then you've got a colon there, meaning the thought is continuing. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In our text, the person of God is likened to the great eagle. As Americans, we, of course, have that symbol of the eagle as part of our nation. In my office, I've got, it must be this long, a poster, and it shows an eagle with its wings open and in flight. The eagle is noted for its great strength. Now, the key here in verse 31 is waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But I declare to you, the waiting is active, not passive. It's an active waiting. You say, well, how can you wait and be active? You can wait in the sense that I'm sitting in this chair waiting for Sam to come. Okay, he's going to tell me about some social media. And so he said, wait here. So I can sit down and wait. But if I'm at home and Pat's gone to the grocery store and I'm waiting for her to get back so I can carry the bags in, but I'm going to go out and do some lawn work while I'm waiting. So you see, waiting can be passive. Waiting can be active. The Christian can be strong in the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our strength in the Lord comes from his might. We work for him. We work through him. We work by him. The power of his might. Joshua in the here in the Old Testament, after the first five books, we come to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, I know this is written to the people of Israel. But again, I remind that what it does is give us understanding of what God expects from his people. There shall not any man be able to stand there before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So Joshua has this to start. And then he's told, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Now how does he go about doing this? He says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Keep your eye on the goal and be courageous, okay, and strong. As Christians, we need not grow weary, okay? Now, verse 30 says, and the youth shall faint and be weary. Now, in the New Testament, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, well, let's turn to it, and that way I'll be sure to get it correctly stated. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Now you, in living the Christian life, you'll get weary. So he's not, it doesn't say don't get weary. He says don't get weary about doing well, doing right. When you begin to get weary of living right, when you begin to get tired of being righteous, boy, you are setting yourself up for a downfall. Okay? And so he tells us here, we should not be weary in well-doing. Now, we've got to keep our eyes on the goal. Keep your eye on the goal. Marriage, keep your eye on the goal of fidelity and meeting the other person's need. as a Sunday school teacher, you keep your eye on the goal of knowing the scripture and presenting it to your students at the level that they can understand it. Keep your eye on the goal. In the home, when it comes to finances, there needs to be an arrangement of the finances. It cannot just simply be spend it while it's there and then when it's gone, pray to God for more. That's not a good financial plan, okay? Now, there's times where we need to pray to God to help us, but we need to start out on the other end the right way. And so let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's a condition. You're not going to be able to reap the results of the goal if you faint, if you give up, if you give in, if you quit, and then want to come running back to God because you know that your decision got you in a mess. Now, God's always there to forgive us. But, you know, too many times we abuse that because we know, well, God's going to forgive me. And we may not even formulate the thought completely in our mind, I shouldn't do this, but you know, I really want to, and you know, and really it's not all that bad, and it's not as, it's, you know, I could do worse, and God, I know I can go to God, and I can confess it, and He'll forgive me. No, we may not gel all of those thoughts as concretely as what I just stated. But let me tell you, if those thoughts are floating around there in the mind and the heart, I don't think we can claim the reaping of what we want. Because we'll reap if we faint not. Now, every one of you that have children living at home, I know you're praying earnestly for them children. Well, you want to reap godliness and righteousness out of their life? Well, then you cannot be weary in well-doing. And when you give up, when you give in, and you know, it's noble that you would go to them and say, I blew it. I really should not have done that. I shouldn't have said that. That is good to do. But when you do it monthly, you know what the kids begin to put together? They begin to put together what God already knows. You're not real. You're just going through the motions. And you're not going to reap. When they grow up, you're not going to reap that godliness you want. Now, I understand there's times where people have prayed and then the children, they must make their own choices. And so they may make the choice. They may have, mom, dad may have been very faithful. They may have been very consistent. But because when the son or daughter grew up, they had to make their own choices. But you see, that parent can still reap. If they didn't grow weary in well-doing, they didn't faint. They can still reap because train up a child in the ways you go, and when he was old, he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, it doesn't say how old. You know, when I think of old, I think gray hair, okay? But it doesn't say that. It just says when they get old. So maybe their old is 25. Maybe their old is 35. But in other words, mom or dad that has been godly and consistent and has not grown weary in living right, well-doing, they'll reap and they'll get that which they had their eye on for the goal. And so the eagle is noted for his strength and the eagle is noted for his great sight. An eagle can see, and you know this, I'm not telling you something you don't know. The eagle flying way up high. He looks like a robin, okay, because of the size of him. He's up so high, and yet with that eagle eye, he can see that mouse running through the field. And without any kind of notice, he is going to swoop down. And, you know, have you seen this when you watch some TV programs, you know? He'll swoop down, he'll grab that mouse on the go. I mean, he doesn't, you know, put the brakes on, you know, and then get the mouse and then start flapping again. No, he knows the target. He swoops down, grabs it, and he continues on his way. The Christian sees more on his knees than the godless philosopher sees on his tiptoes. Stephen had an eagle eye vision. Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 and verse 56. Stephen here is becoming the first martyr. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 56, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Can you picture that? Stephen's there. I picture him on his knees. They were about to stone him. Now, stone him doesn't mean gravel him. We have gravel out in the driveway. We call them stones. Our terminology today, we would say they rocked him. Now, get the rock business out of your mind that we live with, okay? They rocked him like they took rocks. And that's what they stoned him with. Because the intention of a stoning is death. And that's what they did. Now I want you to see something else. He was the first martyr. I want you to see another first in the Bible. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears. I don't want to hear it. And they ran upon him, all these people that were surrounding him. They ran upon him with one accord all at one time. Cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Yeah, the first martyr was Stephen, and the first record of Saul is here. Now turn here in the book of Acts yet to chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. And this is a good reason to read through a book of the Bible. If you use a devotional, like we have the Call to Glory devotional booklets, they can be a definite help. But they should not replace your reading the Bible, reading a whole book of the Bible. Because when you just read about Stephen being stoned and a young man named Saul standing there that they took their coats off because they were going to do some serious stoning. Now, when you get back to chapter 22 in your reading and you come to verse 20, something's going to register in your mind. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen, that's what's referred to in earlier in chapter 7, and when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by him and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment, the garments of them that slew him. When he says I, he's identified as Saul. So there, you know, a lot of people named Saul back in that day. That's, you know, like John today. Okay, it was the Saul we know, the Saul who became the Apostle Paul, and the Bible taught us that. So as you read through, you see, you're reading through, you're asking God, show me your word, teach me, I want to know your word. You get back to chapter 22 and you come to verse 20 and a light's going to go off, a bell's going to ring, And you're going to realize, wow, that's the same Saul. Okay? You see, it's good for Sunday school teachers to teach us these things. It's good for preachers to preach these things. But it's even better when the Holy Spirit of God shows it to you. You'll remember it more. You'll remember it more. So this kind of insight involves the presence and the working of the Holy Spirit. The Lord gives wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Psalm 119 verse 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding." How do I understand these things? Pastor, will you please help me? I don't understand this sort of thing. I'm really in a, I'm in a dilemma, and I don't understand what I should do. You see, it's not just today that we want convenience learning. It's always been around. Okay? Back before the drive-through windows at fast food, people have always wanted a quick, easy answer. And it's, if anything, it's more so that way today, because so much in our society is for the quick. I had heard it said back when I was a kid, I had heard it said that there was going to come a day when there were going to be advertisements, and what was going to happen is there was going to just be a flash of a picture and a word and another flash and another picture, and it's going to be an advertisement that comes about so quick that in 30 seconds it's over. You know, couldn't believe it. Not back then. I mean, like I told you, I'm 77, so if I'm talking when I'm a kid, at least, what, 12, 13 years old, you do the math, a long time ago. But that's how it is, isn't it? If you watch TV, you see that happening. You'll see a commercial come on and boom, and boom, and boom, and then it's over. But the amazing thing is, you know what they showed you. Even us old people, okay, we can understand what it was they were telling us. Yeah, through thy precepts I get understanding. And so we want it quick, easy. But it doesn't always come quick and easy. If it comes quick and easy, okay, we probably won't remember it. And we need to learn things that we're going to be able to keep with us all through life. Now also, in addition to the eagle having that great sight, the eagle rises above the world. The world's covered by gases and smoke and dust and clouds, and the eagle gets to fly up above all of that. Go into cities where there's smog and all of that, you know, that you can't hardly see. Even smaller cities like Buffalo, you know, you're off and you can see how it's bad air day, you know, and you get a report on your cell phone about the pollution rate for the day. The eagle can fly above that. And the believer, we are able to live above these sordid things of everyday life. We need to live above what goes on in our society. We Christians live in the world, but we need not be part of the world. We do not have to be affected by the world. We will be influenced by it, but we make the final choice as to whether that influence is going to direct our life. There was a comedian, was it Flip Wilson? "The Devil Made Me Do It." How many, you know, some of you are shaking your head, nodding your head, you know. That means you're old enough to remember. Because that was quite the popular saying, and whenever somebody did something they know they shouldn't have, they came out with, "Well, the devil made me do it." Because Flip Wilson, in his comedy routines, made that very popular. But no, the devil doesn't make us do it. But whatever influences us, he'll be right ready to take advantage of that when we buy into whatever the influence was. John chapter 17, the Gospel of John. Chapter 17, verse 14. John chapter 17 and verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now there, Jesus is identifying us. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. Wouldn't it be great when you got saved if just automatically you went to heaven? Well, he said, I don't pray that you would take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. We're in the world, but God wants to keep us from the evil. Now, we have got to desire that. This one song we sang, I want to rise above these desires. We must desire that. He is not going to force it on us. They are not of the world. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify, it means separate them, set them apart. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We live in the world, but we do not have to participate in the world. Our soul should long for freedom from sin. If you read in Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 15, you'll read how the apostle laments the condition and what he, in the flesh, in his old nature, what he longs for, but he does not want. He says, the things that I would, I do not, and the things that I would not, them I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Who shall? Then you turn over to Romans chapter 8. And there you're introduced to who? Who? The Holy Spirit. The one who comes and lives in us. I will not leave you comfortless, he said. I will come again to you. And then in Romans chapter 8, we're told that God, by the Holy Spirit, now is the one who works in us. And he is the one who can grant us the freedom we want so desperately. We can live above the world. The eagle, lastly, is noted for longevity. Longevity. I didn't know this before I prepared this message, that eagles live a long time. How did I know? How would I know how long any bird lives, you know? The ones I don't feed don't probably live as long as the ones that I do in our backyard. We had some blue jays in the backyard, and Pat looked out the window and she said, oh, there's some blue jays. They're probably looking for the feed. I said, no, they probably remember the feed and they're here looking for it. I said, no, they don't remember the feed. Okay, I got to thinking about that. Maybe they do. You know, animals, birds, fish, you know, they all, they're creatures of habit, and they're, you know, and so maybe they were. Oh man, now I gotta go home and put up the feed poles and buy seed. I buy the economy brand at Walmart, okay? That's not an advertisement for Walmart, it's just telling you I'm cheap, okay? And if they can't eat the cheap seed, then they go to the neighbors and get the better stuff. As a matter of fact, when ours gets empty and they're not around and I didn't get to buy more yet, Pat says, well, they probably went to another restaurant where they serve better food. And it's trying to make me feel guilty, and then I go buy some. But the eagle is noted for longevity. And as believers in Jesus Christ, meaning born again, saved people, we have eternal life. Amen. We have longevity. For God so loved the world. Say it with me, will you? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. David put it well in Psalm 23 when he says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are going to be with God. What a great life we have in Jesus Christ. How about you? Are you saved? Are you saved? If not, why not? And as a Christian, How is your walk with life, Christian? From ancient times, the eagle has been regarded as a symbol of courage and power. Because of the altitudes to which it flies, because of its great size, and because it builds its nests in places that are inaccessible to man. I find it, as a side note, interesting that when Adolf Hitler built his mountaintop dwelling place, I'll just call it, I'm not quite sure what all I should identify it as, but when he built it, what did he call it? The eagle's nest. Because from it, he could view over Austria and Germany. But in that case, that eagle's nest could be accessed, and it was taken down. Praise the Lord for that. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30. Even though youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Young men are strong. I remember the day. Now I go to do what I remember in my mind, and I go to pick it up. It doesn't come up. What happened here? I remember moving things around in the house. If we had a big old stuffed chair over in the one corner, we wanted it moved, that was no problem. I just hunker down. I can't even hunker down anymore. But I'd hunker down, I'd pull that chair up over me, and I'd just, you know, stand up and move it to wherever we wanted. Now I buy sliders. And so, but young men can grow weary. And so it is. A lot of times, young men are strong, but are likely to think themselves stronger than they actually are. John Green is his name. He's in heaven now. But he began to have bad shoulder problems, needed shoulder replacement. I said, John, what happened to your shoulders? Well, he said, you know, Pastor, when I was young, I thought I could do anything. He said, I would change the car engines myself. And he said, I would just get it loose from where it was. And he said, then I'd get some leverage on it. But he said, basically what I did was just bear hug that engine and move it. And he said, you know, when you do that all through your life, it leaves you with this problem. Pain every day. Every day, because when he was young, he thought himself stronger than what he was. Just because we can do something doesn't mean we should do something. Now that's true in many applications. And so it is with young Christians, whether they're young by natural age, 18, 20, or whether they're an older chronologically, maybe they're 45, but they just got saved, so they're a young Christian, hence they can grow weary and they can faint when conflict arises and troubles come because they have little or no endurance. Trusting self doesn't work. Well, I think, well, the way I see it, what's God want? How does God view that matter? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk great long distances and not faint. No matter how hot the sun is, no matter how long the journey. God's grace is sufficient because he never fails. You remember that. He never fails. And we're going to sing that as our closing song. We can press toward the mark. He said, Paul says in another place, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're going to turn to page 165. And